right, the connection has been made on the UMA guest line with the great Dwayne Kuiper every Wednesday, and we get closer and closer. A week from Saturday is Fan Fest. We're getting closer and closer to February, which is pitchers and catchers, and then the Baseball Hall of Fame, obviously, atop the headlines. Good morning, Kuiper. How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good, Kuiper. We're doing good. We're obviously
wound up pretty
Niner Eagle centric, Kuiper.
I wonder why.
It should be a good one, Dwayne. It's the two best teams in the NFCs. I mean, it's a game that really should happen.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, we were all hoping that it would probably come down to this, but it's going to be good. It really is. I can't wait. I'm just glad it's not the 3:30 game, because that 3.5 hour wait from noon kills me.
Yeah, plus it might mess with your nap, Kuiper.
No naps on Sunday.
Okay.
That's out.
Okay.
There's too much good football going on for me to waste it with a nap. But, so I'm looking forward to it. It would be nice to see that squad go to the Super Bowl.
You know, one of the things that's been brought up relates to baseball is Philadelphia in 2010. And Paulie was bringing up, you know, this crowd and how it's going to get into Brock Purdy. And he said, well, look at little Tim Lincecum.
He stood out there. He faced the fire.
And that's a little more direct in your face.
Like, they were coming at him, too. Remember, Kai put the cat calls? They were whistling at him and everything. And he stood out there. He held it down, man. He had a good night in Philly.
I don't know, Murphy. And Paulie, I think there's a difference with taking crap with a helmet on or taking crap with just the baseball hat on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you are exposed. I mean, look, football guys are going to hear. But I don't know if they're as close to the action as baseball play. I mean, look, if you stand in the on-deck circle, you could literally be 6 feet away from people that are just screaming the most ungodly things you could ever want to hear.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they're going to hear it, and you know they probably hear it more so in pregame because it's a lot quieter, and maybe you're doing your stuff without your helmet on. But it is a tough crowd, and that's what makes it unique. I mean, look, the guy that just got put into the Hall of Fame was consistently booed there every year, and that was Scott Rolen. Mike Schmidt consistently booed in Philadelphia. And in all honesty, I don't know if it makes you better or if it makes you worse.
Yeah.
But I do know it can be a really, really tough place to play.
Tim Lincecum on October 16, 2010, at Philly, went 7 innings. He did give up 3 earned runs, but he struck out 8. He gave up 2 homers. I don't remember who hit him. But
which game was that, Murph?
Game one.
Game one.
NLCS.
And then he came out of the bullpen, I think, in game six.
Yeah. But it wasn't awesome. He pitched 1/3 of an inning, gave up 2 hits, struck out 1.
Yeah.
But anyway, Kuiper, I mean, you know, he got it done. Cody Ross and Juan Uribe were the guys. But, I mean, that was, you know, of all the Giants' road trips, you know, through, you know, Texas and Cincinnati and St. Louis and Detroit, that was the hardest, right?
Well, they had an all-star at every position except maybe at third, and the guy at third was pretty good, but they were stacked.
Yeah,
and the each out was a tough out, and it went up and down that lineup, and you just did that and catch a break. They were not supposed to win that series. I remember I was standing in line. I wasn't feeling really well for that series, and I was at a drugstore, and Eric Karras was standing in line, and he looked at me and he said, 1, you don't look very good. 2, do you think the Giants can win a game in this series?
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And and that's kind of just how people thought about what was going to happen to the Giants. You know, they were that bunch that kind of came from everywhere, and a lot of veteran guys. And, you know, the Burles and the Huffs and the Sanchez and, you know, Edgar Renteria was playing hurt. Pablo gets put on the bench.
Yep.
Because, you know, he had a hard time covering third one time and he looked overweight. So that was it. Uribe went to third. Renteria back to short. and they were off and rolling. So, but it is great memories, thinking about how that team kind of went back to San Francisco and really kind of took care of business by taking 2 out of 3. And then, of course, they had to win one more back in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And it was great.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm gonna be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Yeah, who's going to be the Juan Uribe, Cody Ross of the Niners in that game one? Ross did hit the two solo homers, and by the way, just to close the circle, Carlos Ruiz hit a solo shot, Chooch, and Jason Worth hit a 2-run bomb when the Giants were up 4-1. So anyway, it'll be fun, man. Philly and the Niners, and we rekindle memories of the 2010 Giants Philly series. 49ers Eagles Sunday at noon on KMBR. All right, Kipe, you mentioned him, Scott Rolen. He's the only guy who gets in. Now, Fred McGriff gets in from the December Veterans Committee, so it'll be two guys in July in Cooperstown. But this is one that I think surprises a lot of people because he never won an MVP. In fact, never came close. Finished one year he finished fourth in MVP voting. And it was a case where they say, those who are smarter than me say, his case was bolstered by advanced metrics as the years went on. And it's an interesting case study, Kipe, as to kind of what you saw with your eyes and then what the laboratory tells you. What was your reaction?
Well, my reaction was if Scott Rolen goes in, Jeff Kent needs to go in.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that's not taking anything away from Scott Rolen. That's actually a real big compliment.
Yeah.
And you know, he's a terrific player. Do you remember who the last out was against Cincinnati in 2012?
Ooh, Scott Rolen.
Yep.
Wow.
Jay Bruce had the at-bat, you know, that, what, 13, 14-pitch at-bat against Romo. And Romo, by that point, was literally out of gas. And he threw, or Romo was out of gas. He threw Rolen a hanging breaking ball. And by all rights, he should have hit it out of the park. He swung and missed, and that was it. But that's not how people remember Scott Rolen. They remember him with his Philly days and just how dominant of a player he was at his position, as was Jeff Kent. So, I mean, when I think about these guys that go in, I always think about how a lot of people, more people voted for Kent this year than ever before. I think he was at 46%. And I think he's got a really good chance of getting in with the Veterans Committee. Most home runs by a second baseman. Most RBIs by a second baseman. Most 100 RBI seasons by a second baseman. And highest slugging percentage by a second baseman. Ever.
Yeah.
So that tells you a little bit about him.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think my takeaway is that guys like Scott Rolen are getting in because, and I say guys like him, and I think the general baseball fan would say he's the classic really good player who's not a Hall of Famer, but the metrics guys and the voters said, no, he is a Hall of Famer. Because, you know, guys, through the years, guys like Will Clark, Don Mattingly, and Dale Murphy, just I'm picking three names from that generation who were just superstars who aren't in the Hall of Fame. Scott Rolen was never a superstar by any stretch of the imagination. Even though he was an 8-time Gold Glover, he was just a great player who never really lit the scene on fire. My argument, Kipe, is that it's the steroid, the argument, the votes that are not going to Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, McGuire, and now Alex Rodriguez and Manny Ramirez are getting people to go to the next level of candidate. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And, you're right. I mean, those votes have to go somewhere. And I don't know what the Veterans Committee is going to do with Bonds and all the people that you mentioned. But I do have a little bit of a problem. I mean, if David Ortiz gets in because of his great numbers and his personality, then the other guy should seriously be considered as well. Because I think that broke the barrier. Mm-hmm. And it just didn't happen.
Todd Helton was a guy who just missed by 11 votes. You got to see him a lot in the NL West.
He'll be in.
He will get
in. He's got plenty of years yet to go, so he'll get in.
Yeah, and I don't know, when you guys would see the Roland in Philly and St. Louis, what do you remember about him?
Well, one, he was the best defender at that position in both leagues. And two, I mean, here's a guy that could hit the ball out of the park, and you know, and he could hit for. He was really everything you would want in a third baseman. I mean, he wasn't as spectacular as Machado and Arenado, but just as good as those guys. Just wasn't as spectacular. And you know what? Machado and Arenado are going to get in too. So I do put him into that category of being the class of that position for the time that he played. And, you know, you're right. He just didn't get an MVP, and maybe he wasn't the best player on every team he played on. But he made it, and good for him.
Another guy whose candidacy is rising is Billy Wagner. Interesting little guy. I mean, he was an interesting guy when he played because short, fireballing lefty. You just don't see too many of those guys, but he's got a chance, guy.
Yeah, he'll get in, too. Hmm. You know, it always seems like the closers are the toughest ones to try to judge, unless, you know, it's a no-brainer like Mariano Rivera and Eck and those guys. But he's going to get in. I mean, when you see these guys starting to crawl up and their numbers start to get fairly close, you just have to assume that at some point they are going to get in. And, you know, now with saves the way they're created, you know, you're going to see a lot of guys 10 years, 15 years from now that are going to be considered just because of the number of saves that they're going to pick up. I mean, it's a bullpen game now.
Yeah.
Starters go 5, maybe 6. What is the quality start now? 6 innings?
Yeah.
They're going to have to knock it to 5.
Yeah, seriously.
They are. And, you know, gone are the days where Gaylord and Juan Marichal are throwing over 300 innings. I mean, now if a guy throws 200, people are doing somersaults. I mean, these guys are knocking it out of the park with all those innings pitched and complete games in the 30s. So it's different, Murph, and the Hall of Fame voting is going to be different. 15 years from
the Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you live. Listen.
Yeah, and you know, one of the things, just bringing it back home, Kai, before I let you go, is the Roland's induction to me says Buster's an automatic. Because I think in the old days, in the old days, now things change, right? But in the old days, you had to have 500 bombs, 3,000 hits.
Yep.
And now, obviously, this, many things happened. Steroids happened and all that. But to me, if a guy like Roland gets in, now, I think that almost locks Buster in.
I agree.
Would you agree?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we're a little biased. We think long before Roland got in that Buster would get in. But there are a lot of people, you know, on the East Coast that, you know, that didn't stay up to watch our games. Had no idea the impact of this guy unless they just look at what he does in the box score. And that never really tells the whole story. And by the way, here's a shocking note. Did you see that he's going to be at Pebble Beach?
I did see that, and unfortunately we're not. But, yeah, I did see that. We'll try to get him on the phone.
So I text him. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He said, we're coming in for the week.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
So good for him. Because he was there once. And it was a lot of fun, but it was really hectic for him, too. Because you're not as well protected as a golfer at Pebble Beach as you are as a player where you're involved, you're on the field, and there's a lot of things. When you got to walk through the ropes, it can be a little bit tough. And I thought, you know what, he's never coming back. I mean, he had a great time. And also remember when Buster played, he got in the round on Sunday, the final round. So he was on the 18th green, and I don't remember who won, but whoever won and sunk the final putt, he was on the 18th green.
Very Buster.
So he's got pretty good memories of that place.
Well, he's living his best life now, man. He's, he's an owner of the Giants, and he's, living back near his family, and now he gets to play Pebble Beach. God bless him. Go Buster.
Doesn't have to take foul balls off the chest protector.
That's right. I think he's looking for an excuse to come back. And I don't think there's any doubt that he and Christian and those kids miss this place and have fond memories of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they said.
I just wish that we would see him more often.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, good. You know, it's funny that it does coincide with Fan Fest. So he'll be playing at Pebble on the Saturday of Fan Fest. So we won't.
Oh.
I was thinking we could steal him up at Fan Fest, but.
Well, that explains why he's playing at Pebble.
So he doesn't have to go
just
to Fan
to get
Fest?
Out of it, right? We've had him in the past, yeah.
He doesn't want to get mobbed at Fan Fest because he would be the number one attraction.
Oh, always, yeah.
He would be.
Yeah.
Well, the best-selling jersey for the Giants last year was Buster Posey.
Oh, boy. Yeah, well.
And you know who was second?
Who?
Will Clark.
Wow.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
That's interesting trivia.
So I'm my little league team this year is the Giants, Kipe, and the uniform coordinator, Coach Jeff, kind enough to arrange all Hall of Fame numbers, and then a few extras, and so all the numbers mean something. And 22 is one of our jerseys. So,
well, you better have 18, or we're gonna fight.
Well, is that for the guy who was on the Hall of Fame ballot yesterday, or for you?
No, that's for me.
I love it. Of course it is. Should we get 39 in there? Should we squeeze that in there too?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? We got to teach him the
crew. 39 was a good year.
Oh, that's awesome. 1839. I think that's what I made a reference to Fred Astaire earlier on the show and got blanked by everybody. So I'll tell the kids he was dancing back in 1839.
Hey, if we keep talking long enough, Taylor Sheridan's going to have a show called 1839.
I like Taylor Sheridan.
Oh, man. All right. Well, listen, listen, we got to get your prediction on the way out. It's a tall order, and the Niners are 2.5-point underdogs.
Oh.
The Niners are 2.5-point underdogs, and, they've won 12 in a row. Kipe, can they do it?
Robbie Gould, baby. There's your winner.
Yeah. I love it. Got to have that kicker in late January.
You're saying that. Yeah. Right?
Robbie Gould, that's the difference.
Kipe says Niners win on a Robbie Gould kick. Book it, right?
Yep.
All right. We'll talk to you next week, Kipe. Be good.
All right, fellas.
Thanks,
well.
Dwayne.
Dwayne Kuiper. Do you like that, Robbie Gould kick for the win?
I do, very much. He's been the man. I mean, he is as money as it gets in the postseason, and, yeah, it could come down to that. Would not shock me.
Well,
former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show. Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though, so. That's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.